Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is EBN podcast number 36. Our guest is Abby Sherlock, a graduate student at University of Southern California and fellow of USC Esports. Abby is a woman of many complexities. Just exchanging a few minutes of conversation, you'll shortly realize that she's exceeding far beyond her peers in the industry. It is easy to see that she's no slacker and aims to achieve extraordinarily great accomplishments. In this podcast, we discuss her nomadic upbringing with a robust understanding of American culture. We talk about her engagement with video games and the research she is doing for her graduate thesis. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox back with another episode of the Esports Business Network podcast. And today, our guest is Abby Sherlock. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Trent. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. A lot of things going on. Moving around, fixing to sell one of the family homes, and my grandmother is building a house on my parents' land, who they just bought property. And so been doing a lot of podcasts. If you were able to see behind the studio stuff, it is really messy. But we're making things happen. We're making podcasts still happen. Recorded a few different episodes during this transition and move. You know what? This is pretty interesting. This is the NVIDIA RTX.
Yeah.
You know, the broadcast studio. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is AI.
That's
this
awesome.
This is the power of AI.
We love that. So it's very helpful.
I see if you were able to see Abby's video, you can see she's got a lot of anime and different graphics on her wall, some artwork. And so we'll definitely have to get into in depth about that as well. But first, before we get into everything, I usually ask the guests the first question: how did you get introduced to gaming, and how did you get involved in esports?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So introduction to gaming. I think one of my first memories in life is with gaming, which is kind of cool. I remember sitting on my dad's lap playing Crash Bandicoot 3 on the original PlayStation. And I have a very specific memory of his hands over mine, because I probably was 3 or 2 years old, baby. And us playing together, the level with the tiger, and you're platform jumping. So very sweet. Another memory, it's very wholesome. But also I remember we died a lot, and my dad would get frustrated. So then he would take it from me and then finish it while I would watch, was Galaga. My dad is also a big Galaga fan. So whenever we would go to, are Fuddruckers still around?
You know, it's so interesting you say that, because I was just driving by Fuddruckers and looked over to it's northbound on I-35 here in Austin in Round Rock. Looked over and was like, Fuddruckers is gone.
Really?
they remodeled it, rebranded something. There's a new company in there. It's gone. So I don't know if they're still in business.
Because it went away. I'm from the Carolinas originally, and it went away. Now it's they went out of business there too. So I didn't know you were in Austin.
I live
in Austin. Yeah, I think they might be out of business.
Oh, really?
I have family in Austin, Dallas, Houston, Katy, Sugarland, Odessa, all over. Texas. We can talk about that too later. So I remember going to Fuddruckers, ADD, there we go, playing Galaga with my dad, and him holding me up to touch the buttons. So very sweet memories. And then for esports, so I've always been a gamer, really, honestly. But then for esports, I wasn't really a big league player. which I feel like has been a lot of people's introduction, honestly, LCS into esports as a whole, or StarCraft. And I wasn't big into either of those titles. But when I went to college, I went to UC San Diego, and we had a esports gaming club, and they were a TESPA chapter. And TESPA was a brand that was retired last year, but was partnered with Blizzard Entertainment. Blizzard acquired them. And I kind of got adopted by the club. Like, I, you know, became a member and an officer. And that was my introduction really into esports, like LANs all night, all these hardware computers, tournaments, competitions. And that was really because I 2016, I guess. Yeah. So Overwatch was like the big thing. And for me, that was like my first introduction to esports was like wild. Like, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch Worlds at like 2 a.m. from the China broadcast and Overwatch. So like those were kind of my first introductions and I kind of fell in love.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, you mentioned TESPA. Yeah, TESPA has the long history of being established out of Longhorn Gaming.
Yes, it was the Texas Esports Association. That was the name. People thought it meant something different, but you know that. Yeah, it was the Texas Esports Association, which is funny.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting that you say you also from, you know, Carolinas. The last podcast that I recorded was with I'm gonna blank right now. Eva she's now gone from California to North Carolina to start doing strategic partnerships for eSpin.gg and Carolina Esports Hub. But that, so you look at their name and it's confusing as well because they do ESIPN and it's like esports, electronic sports.
Electronic sports. Like, exactly.
I still get caught up with that.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't like saying electronic sports that much.
No.
I don't know. It is what it is, but.
No, it's never. Crazy. It's actually funny you say that because it's always my Texas family who, when I got my first job, which was at TESPA, they were like, esports? Like, huh? And I put all the ways you have to explain it to family members. It's always just a meme and a half, honestly.
Yeah, it's esports is, you know, a development, you know, in overseas, they still call it like cyber gaming.
Cyber gaming! Like,
all sorts of other different names.
I love that. That kind of sounds robotic or sci-fi either. Cyber gaming. I like that.
Yeah, I like cyber a lot because it's like my one of my media. It's my media holding company's name, Cyber City Media. And I actually, you know, I didn't create an esports brand until 2019 timeframe when Esports Business Network developed into what it is now. But, you know, we were talking off air a little bit about this. It's like trying to figure out how to tell other people what you do.
Yes.
What do you do?
How do you frame that?
I'm in this competitive gaming. How do you frame that? Right.
Exactly.
And you have a lot of different experience like it.
Yes.
And even your goals, the things you're trying to achieve or that you are achieving. Not even trying, you are achieving, are epic. You know, they're like big things and awesome to see that
That's
you're
so
doing
sweet.
Them. But for the listeners of the podcast, I discovered Abby on Clubhouse. I like to connect with people. I've had Rob now on the show. Rob Street Taco Eater Davis, which will be coming out soon as well, maybe before or after this show.
Awesome.
And someone else. I've had a couple other guests on the show from Clubhouse, and it's been a great way to discover other entrepreneurs and other people doing things in the business. So we kind of talked about TESPA, but let's talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah.
What was like your role at TESPA?
Yeah, what was I doing?
What did you do while you were there?
Totally. I was the community coordinator. for a contract role for a year. But that was still a big deal because what you're doing basically is you're reporting to their headquarters in Irvine, which was where Blizzard was, remote. But I was basically, so I had done my work at my chapter level, so in college. And so I was on exec board. I was very involved. And then that directly led to me getting a job because I was doing really good work at a chapter level. And then the nationals, you know, picked that up and they're like, cool. Okay. Now do that for 28 other chapters. So I started, again, being a community coordinator was a lot about programming. And so it was a lot about helping our chapters establish good practices. So especially with collegiate space, it's, I think, the universal problem that regular sports, I say regular sports, has fixed. But it's the 4 years problem, which means you're having talent rotate out every 4 years. So there are so many things that can fall to the wayside if you don't specify exactly what needs to happen. So one of my things I focused a lot on was like programming for transitions. So like, how do you have an exec board? How do you elect an exec board? How do you recruit? How do we improve diversity when we are recruiting? Who do we reach out to on campus to do XYZ? And so kind of doing that was probably one of my biggest roles. And then also we would do in-person visits. So I got to fly out to a couple of my chapters in Virginia. One time, I think I was in Georgia another time, and going and seeing chapters, and you see their events and usually tabled back when we had in-person events, and kind of be a representative of the brand. And then also they would do usually Blizzard swag or products for giveaways, which is awesome. A lot of companies do that now. I mean, with MSI, Corsair, with collegiate events, because they're building that repertoire with that community. Yeah, and that was a really awesome, awesome experience.
Yeah, it's interesting. I attended a TESPA event in South by Southwest, 2019, I think. And I won an item there.
Yeah, Trent, let's
go. Like a messenger bag.
Yeah, let's go.
It was pretty cool. TESPA definitely isn't, you know, compared to the other two, three, if you think of UT Dallas, it's not as much of a big of a presence as it is anymore. I guess that it mostly went over to California because Blizzard headquarters. And so I don't know too much about TESPA, to be honest. It wasn't like, obviously I went to Texas State. I didn't go to UT.
Okay.
And TESPA didn't exist at the time that I was going to college. And so when I came back and moved back to the Austin area, and I discovered what they built and, you know, what the remnants were since TESPA left UT, and seeing like Longhorn Gaming in the way it's being ran now, and also with Dylan, Lou, and UConnect, which was sort of connected to Texas A&M Esports.
Yeah.
And the Texas region is doing crazy
really
good
well
things.
Yes. Kind of 100%.
Yeah, kind of sort of disorganized right now, but they did an amazing thing between a certain amount of time. Obviously I look at what's going on in collegiate in the West Coast, and everything that's going on the pro level as well. And you've done a lot of great work with TESPA, as you've just you just let the listeners know, but now you're sort of doing a whole lot more work in the space, more in gaming, and it's almost difficult for me to comprehend because it's so big and it's such, you know, it's a cool, cool project that you're working on. And so with USC Esports and also being, tell me a little bit more about that role.
Totally.
And it exists because you're on the cutting edge. It's something that probably only exists at a university like USC that can afford to put money behind your study.
That's a really good point, Trent. I also think, accessibility, if you're talking about just money and funding, that's really important. But I basically, like, as you said, I'm a fellow for USC, which means they pay me in part to go to school, which is awesome. I'm a scholarship student, and my work does focus on esports, mostly broadcasting and streaming. So one of our things last semester was the Pac-12. It was like our Pac-U Gaming, which was we did weekly matches that were broadcast on that channel, that were, between some of the schools. We had Rocket League, Overwatch, but we also, which was my job, which was finding student talent to help run those events, and serve as the broadcast team. And I worked closely with other collegiate leaders in the space, mostly Old TESPA folks, and did that, which was really cool. Again, like I said, education for students to get their first real broadcasting gig casting. Like, how do you cast? And so I would make rules that are like, hey, you're usually going to need to get a green screen or hang up a bed sheet, or please, for the love of God, make your bed. please, just giving some very basic rules that actually students don't really think about. Or what do I wear for a broadcast? Or how do I cast a blowout? How do you cast a blowout? And then going over best tips and practices for that. And then this semester working on basically a boot camp streamer workshop series, bringing in other kind of professionals in the space and kind of giving lectures to students on that topic. USC also is really neat because we have a streaming class. It's not really about esports, kind of adjacent, but more about just how do I get started on Twitch? What is Twitch? What is Facebook gaming? What is all these different platforms and how that kind of works out? So they really are. You said cutting edge. Yeah. I think we're some of the, I think Utah.
Bleeding edge.
Utah does really cool broadcasting stuff too. Trying to get that in place with students, just because that's not really studied. And it would be neat to have more folks being able to go into the field, because there are a broadcasting major or a production major, but having that explicit experience can sometimes be super helpful. So then you have a portfolio, right? And so that's one of the things, especially as a host, or when I was getting started out hosting, it's I want to host, but to host, you have to have a portfolio. Then how do you get a gig without the portfolio? It's a circle. So you have to have that somehow. How do you get that portfolio to get that job? And so I think that's really useful for it too. So students can have that opportunity when they do apply to stuff.
Amazingly, you've accomplished a lot. And a lot of the people that I do interview on this podcast have either, career transitioned, have been, some who've had years and years of experience in marketing and advertising, sports agency, entertainment, law, a few different things as they pertain to esports, but you're sort of at the top and also boots on the ground.
Yes, boots on the ground completely,
very much so. And it's, I definitely advocate for people that are doing what you're doing, because there's very few. There's very few people that are doing what you're doing. Obviously, USC and these things add value to what we're talking about. Of course, the brands that you're working with are able to afford that. And maybe that's because of location, because you are so proximity. You're close to a lot of the North American pro organizations, the developers and everything.
Oh, 100%. That's a great point.
How do you think that maybe some listeners that are in the collegiate space, whether they're students or educators, could create sort of a remote version of what you're doing now? Is that something you foresee in the next 5 to 10 years, of the opportunity being remote to learn broadcasting?
Yeah, no. And that was definitely one of the things that we were trying to not take advantage of. I don't like that word, but to use of this time of COVID where we are remote and we are, you know, in these spaces at home. Because it's sometimes, and I do have to say, one of the reasons I picked USC when I was looking at graduate school is because of the facilities. You have fantastic, beautiful, state-of-the-art facilities funded by Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. So, like, you don't get higher than that. And that's a big blessing.
Yeah.
But we can't use those. And so it was like, all right, we're remote. What do we do now? I can't go on campus. And so I think for other schools and other places, and as someone, again, who grew up in rural South Carolina, accessibility is a huge issue. But that is a really cool thing about being remote, is that you can have these Zoom calls. You can have these Discord calls with folks from other places and get that knowledge and get that info. And of course, that was one of my things where it was like, I want to educate people and make sure they feel like they have the education, but then also the practical like experience of doing something. Again, like I said, for a portfolio at a later date. So for other educators and other people, I think there are people in the scene who are doing it. There are programs where you can learn about that. Shout out Sam Morris, who runs, I think it's Space Productions, and they do a student like internship program, paid, of course, as it should be, like a fellowship where they educate people too. And that's like independent, not with a certain school. You know, that's just North America. So there are certain things like that are happening where you can learn more. And I also, this is going to sound kind of silly, YouTube. I think the accessibility of like Googling stuff is, I mean, I use it personally. Of course, I have professors and friends and peers and coworkers, but especially with Unity, and because I'm a game developer now, I use YouTube all the time for very simple things. If I have a question or an issue that I can't solve with my coding skills, which are very tiny, then I Google it. And that is a huge resource of not being like, I want to figure it out on my own. I think sometimes it's smarter to ask, and it shows that you have humility and that you're willing to do what it takes to get the right answer. So yeah, just using all the resources available to you and not cutting anything off.
Have you always been outgoing? Have you always been a go-getter?
No, I was pretty, I think I said I was a child. I don't know if I mentioned I was a child actor. And so I was that was kind of part of what I did when I was on stage. I was like, I did musical theater in the Southeast region. So very, you know, usually very bubbly productions. And then I would go home and I would be very quiet and play video games with my brother. And like, you know, kind of the Spider-Man, Peter Parker. So I think, that was kind of like self-care for me. It was the recharging through games, if that makes sense. They were kind of my solace in the middle of a lot of craziness and chaotic times.
So you grew up as a theater kid.
I was a theater kid. I was a big old theater kid. I know, yeah.
I was a theater kid as well.
Were you really? Trent, so many game people and esports people, I don't know how we just come to it. That's so funny.
Yeah. I was a theater kid and did a few different plays and stuff like that. I actually didn't do that in college.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, it was, you know, I did a lot of different stuff in college. It wasn't very much studying, though. mostly socializing.
That's good.
And I played sports as well. So
what sports?
You know, esports makes sense, a lot of it. I played football.
You played growing football. Up, yeah. I was a cheerleader. I was a football cheerleader. Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved going to
in high school
games.
And in.
I'm not in college, in high school. I was a cheerleader for basketball and football. And then I played lacrosse a little bit too. So I was kind of like Troy Bolton, is what my ex-boyfriend used to say.
So you've been doing a lot of things for a long time.
Yes. Yeah. But the theater kid
you've
with the
always
sports,
done a lot of things.
Yes. Yeah. 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 But I get this. I love, you're a football fan though, which I am a big college football fan too. Again, USC, part of the reason I wanted a football team. So I get that.
Yeah. I don't know how much I'm a football fan anymore. I
I used to be a very big football fan, as far as like, you know, because that you had these gargantuan Texas, father-like right? figures like Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And now it's just commercialized, and you know,
are you a college football person? It's almost or a pro totally football different. Person.
I was a pro football person,
okay.
But now I'm not even a college football person. UT has gotten spanked year over year, you know, and given that, it hurts the soul, you know, it hurts the soul.
Are you
a UT? Deep.
Are you Longhorn? Are you a Longhorn fan?
I'm a big Longhorn fan ever since I was young.
Oh, Trent. You know?
So
you're talking to the daughter of an Aggie.
yeah. You're no, I tried the whole Aggie thing. You know, all that.
College Station,
right?
Yeah. The Yell Leaders. I think I've been to one game. Yeah.
I don't know. It definitely is. Now we're into sports, but.
Yes, we are.
it definitely has been very sad run. You know, A&M had their run with Manziel. And Hubenak actually went to my high school.
Really?
But he didn't play for very long. Yeah, he went to my high school. His sister graduated the same year that I did. Yeah. That is some football knowledge for you. That's some
I have a little
very
trivia.
Inside football. Inside football,
an insider's kind of baseball, yeah.
Stuff going on there. No, nobody would even understand that unless they were really paying attention to football. But I transferred to the University of Hawaii, so I actually went year after they went 12-0. So I saw the same team, but they didn't do it again. You know,
yeah.
So I did videography for the Rainbow Warriors. For a few different semesters, practice football, practice footage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I like football to put a bow tie on this, but, but yeah, no, I, you know, what's interesting though. On Clubhouse, I connected with Chase. I think his last name's Barker or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's been a coach for, the FCF, the Fan Controlled Football League.
That's
so
awesome.
I've been paying attention to them doing, they partner with Twitch and they've been broadcasting on Twitch. It's sort of like the XFL, but, a little different, than XFL.
No, I totally.
So there's a gamification coming.
There is a gamification. And I was going to say though, I mean, I grew up going to Clemson games cause my dad was a Tiger. And so that, you know, just tailgating. And when I was younger as a little kid, and then I think I felt that feeling when I went to my first esports tournament and I went to Heroes of the Dorm, the TESPA tournament. And I went to these competitions and I also went to Overwatch League matches, LCS matches for League. And this, the energy people do, they're like, oh, they're nerds in front of a computer, but the energy in the room is the same. It really mm-hmm. is. It's passion and it's excitement and there's competitiveness. Esports, but it really is when you're physically in those spaces though, I do have to say you feel it. You get it. You're like, oh yeah, this is where it comes from. It has a long tradition of rituals of thousands of years of sports and competition in general. So I definitely see the layering of it.
What's really interesting is I didn't grow up playing CSGO.
Yeah.
And when I started going to the CSGO competitions and tournaments and stuff like that, it was like, wow, this is a lot like traditional sports. This is the energy. Everything is very similar. You know, I like to watch StarCraft and I like to watch League
mm-hmm.
online, but I love to be in
person
the stadiums when someone's playing CSGO.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy. It's different. Like I don't so much like watching CSGO virtually,
mm-hmm.
but I do enjoy going to CSGO tournaments. They're crazy. The energy and everything that's invested because it's so fast paced. Boom, boom, boom. You can see mm-hmm. you can see when someone's winning, right? You can, so much like football, because football, you're paying attention to the team that's winning. If you're losing, you're like, oh, what am I doing here? I gotta leave.
I belly early. Like, no, literally, yes, which I've done at a USC game, but yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Yeah, I feel that.
I got to see a USC game. I think they played Hawaii.
Yeah.
In Hawaii.
Oh, that's and, awesome. And
that was really a tail, like, because there's sort of a tailgating aspect to.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Now we're going off track. In Hawaii, there's a tailgating aspect too.
Yeah.
And they played the USC versus Hawaii at the Aloha Stadium.
Oh, if anybody's
been there for a pro ball or whatnot, but like,
would love to go. The
Aloha Stadium is a pro pro quality stadium that the Hawaii plays in, and it's amazing. I that was one of my favorite things of attending school there.
Yeah.
It's like you got the 70 degree weather all the time.
Beautiful.
Serve beer in the stadium. They serve beer and whatever you want, and you just sit and you just watch a great game under incredibly good weather. Yeah, but I can't imagine that it's not that much different in. Can't imagine it's much different
in LA.
In LA, yeah,
it's gotta be very amazing. Very similar. Yeah, and you're talking about like rituals, like it's like all the pomp and circumstance, which I love. Like, yeah. I think it's what makes football, because we have like, you know, the horse that rides across Traveler. He rides across the field with a Trojan on top after, even when you score a goal, like beautiful. Like, that's so fun. And I do think when you're talking about like esports, I do see the similarities, and I also see, which I think people forget, you said you're a theater kid, entertainment in general. There's so many overlaying aspects. You got lights, you got colors, like teams got different, like special mascot colors. I mean, if you think about, I think of specifically LCS, where they have usually, they do actual tailgates sometimes at the Santa Monica place back when you could do them. So it leans so heavily on that. So it's cool seeing fans of all those different areas that we've talked about, spaces, kind of different spaces, but similar aspects and themes.
Absolutely. And I don't want to derail it too much, but but bringing this back to what you're doing and what you're working toward, being a producer for game development. Yeah. And so let's talk about the thesis that you're working on for your graduate program. What are you working on?
Yeah, totally. So I'm in graduate school, master's thesis at USC, studying game design, specialization in production. And I told you earlier offline, but I kind of got in when my interview process, because I talked about esports, and that was such a particular perspective that they actually didn't have of anyone else in the program. And so that was actually, it was a huge plus in my book, because honestly, everyone else in my cohort was very programming heavy and computer science. And then I was like, I got a theater and film double major. And they were like, okay, we'll still pick you because of that esports background and that perspective. So I feel really, lucky. But for my master's thesis, I'm actually doing something, because usually most people do like cute little indie games, very wholesome, sweet, short platformers or visual novels. And for me, I'm actually going on a project that is about esports and streaming. I'm doing my professor tagged it a harassment simulator, but it's going to be a short experience for women in games, about women in games, about the experience they can, have in these spaces of toxicity. And so the player will put on the headphones and they will hear kind of some of the awful audio that people can say in competitive games while trying to avoid the attacks on screen, a short experience. And so gamifying the aspect of being a woman in games. And so that's kind of my next year and a half project. And so I'm in the middle of pre-thesis, but I'm also starting to, eventually we'll need people to interview, because I want it to all be real. I don't want to fabricate anything and take from real people's stories of experiences they've had, in competitive matches of what they've heard and what they've been told. Yeah. My hope is that influences some people. I had people, I did a first iteration my first year, actually, and I had multiple people cry, leave the room. Men in the class who were like, my life has changed. I did not know it was that bad. All kinds of stuff. So I want to make people who have gone through that feel seen and heard and affirmed. And then also for, you know, people who maybe not know that it's that bad, realize that, but then also have more, you know, initiative to be a better ally and like call people out when they hear them saying really evil stuff. And feeling that it's the right thing to do. It's not white knighting. It's not any of that kind of BS. It's the right thing, the kind thing to do to make gaming and esports a safer space for everyone. Yeah, it's a lot.
You know, I think of, well, you know, I've kind of studied this a little bit. I had a class that I took toward one of my, by far my favorite class of all time. It's called Digital America.
Yeah.
And how online forums like 4chan and 8chan and all these websites were broadcasting sort of, all kinds of different hate speech and hate actions and different things. I don't know how much I want to dive into the darkness of that conversation, side. But
yeah,
you know, one of the things that we studied was, one of the people that we studied was Anita Sarkeesian, and I'd like to have her on the show, to talk about some of these subjects, because I can't necessarily, I don't have enough data to really know what percentage of people, how people behave or how they don't behave, or what sort of data there is from the developers and the in-game communications. And that's really private information.
Totally.
Cause you never know, like that could be, it could be someone's, you know, having more issues with their parents or some sort of, you know, domestic issue happening.
I know Twitch has run into that a couple of times, stuff like that. Yeah.
That's interesting. I want to stay on this track, but we can talk about Twitch a little bit more. But yeah, so her coverage of women in gaming and sort of the communication and the lexicon and things that happen as it pertains to how women are portrayed in video games and also how they're in competitive gaming.
Anita's awesome. I met her through IGDA, the International Game Developers Association, and she does really good work. I'd love for you to meet her and talk to her like one-on-one.
I would really like to. I would definitely like to. I think broadcasting, I mean, incorporating more women will rub off onto gaming and esports to show potentially that there are more women participating in gaming than this is where this statement, or this is where this issue kind of, what I don't like about it is because a lot of people come from the angle of there are no women in gaming. So when they get treated poorly, it greatly impacts their acceptance into gaming. But that's not the reality, because the reality is like 45% of gamers are women. Like,
yeah, so that's it's
so a large number, there's not as much coverage over just the toxicity of people. And so I've started to notice women are not talking shit to each other. Like, and women are not talking shit about guys in gaming. And there's an anonymity factor within gaming that can that a lot of women that I've talked to now, have decided, and I think you've mentioned this before, maybe on Clubhouse, choose to hide their identity behind anonymity so that they aren't attacked or seen as any different. My concern is that that leads to them treating other people improperly and behaving irrationally online through that anonymity. Because I've seen it happen. Is that
for everyone or just specifically?
No, not by any means. It's not a black and white. It's not a black and white thing. Like, there's 45% of women in gaming. So you start looking at the numbers and you have to wonder how much of that 45% is behaving toxic online.
Oh, totally.
Through anonymity. Yeah. You have to wonder that, right? That statistics has to be developed, but it's not funded. It's not well funded to discover how are people behaving online, regardless of their gender.
That's a huge point. Yeah, right.
Or identity.
Privacy. Yeah. No, that is 100% true.
But ultimately, I think the value of the work that you're doing as far as like broadening the scope on broadcasting and gaming largely starts to incorporate more female personalities in leadership roles within gaming. And so that has definitely been very one-sided. That statistic is more like 15% to, 85% of most broadcasters and most people on broadcast teams being male.
And that's very true.
What that results in, the ultimate result in that is that in esports, there's less of a female audience because they don't see themselves in the broadcasters and the players. So that's where I think the ultimate value is. And, I think about Arnita, I think about Super Seducer, I think of these games that kind of relationships into gaming to educate kids and adults into how they can engage in a gaming culture, not only in a gaming industry, but a gaming culture, an esports culture, and an esports industry.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Anyway, these are just my thoughts.
No, totally. And I mean, the project was, I was a Girls Make Games fellow last year, which is basically, I was a teacher for girls 12 to 14, 10 to 14, actually. And, helping playing games with them over the summer and just listening to their experiences. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of born out of that, my time with them. And again, what you're talking about in general, just wanting a safer, more fun place to be. I don't want anyone to be run off by trolls and cruel people. And then also the 12-year-old boy I babysat in undergrad, and I would, I babysat him three times a week, and I would, it was a really good relationship because we always talked about games together. We had that shared hobby. And even with, he would play Call of Duty sometimes, and some of the stuff that he was said. So it's just toxicity in general. For me, it's what I know and what I can frame it. I bring my perspective to it. So that's how I'm doing it. But in general, because I want him. And if I become a mom, my kids to have a healthier relationship with that. And so if I can convince one person to rethink their an evil comment to someone, then I'll feel like I succeeded. Uh-huh. Honestly, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Unless you're a gamer, and unless your parents were gamers or your grandparents, somebody was a gamer, they don't know what ESRB is. They don't. Mm-hmm. They could probably relate that to NPAA, but not necessarily. Why would they I don't even know. There's a whole lot of issues there. There's even issues in books and education right now. What you're saying makes sense once you look over the surface level. I think the challenge, and this is largely the challenge and the feedback that I get, is when it gets to a macro conversation. I mean, this is a very micro conversation, you and I having a conversation. When it gets to a macro conversation like a Clubhouse or like a webinar, or you know, even if you go to a convention or something like that, it's very surface level, very esports 101. And so people walk away thinking, oh God, ugh, bad taste, esports, gross,
yeah.
Gaming, gross. Because it sounds like there's just all these crazy problems, like mm-hmm. with gender identity and communication and
it's true, all, yeah.
And you know, Lord, there's so many things going on, but and whole, you know, at a micro level for me, I'm like legitimately surrounded by like a lot of non-gamers mm-hmm. and you know, mostly people who, you know, just barely even use their smartphone, and I don't know how they manage to live now, because I use my smartphone for all business, all personal reasons,
all the time,
yeah. All the time. But I also was a club promoter, so I know kind of like how people engage, why they show up, and why do they come to events, and you know, so it's sort of interesting because I don't personally get engaged a lot with like online comms and stuff like that, so I don't see it. But it does come out a lot when it comes to the macro level. So when you do a study like you're doing, and I want to see the success
yeah.
of that study, and of course your project and everything that happens totally. From that project, and we'll have to come back whenever you've, you know, finally when you've graduated and
yeah,
you've
awesome.
Finished it to discuss like what you discovered
yeah.
and what you're doing next. But yeah, absolutely. And when we close out, I like to give you opportunity to promote anything that you've got going on, and how people can get in contact with you, especially since all of the work that you are doing in gaming identity yeah. And in broadcasting, gaming and game totally. Development, all the things that you're doing. You're doing so much. I think we kind of, I think we definitely, I have a better understanding of it now.
Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, for the listeners that are interested in connecting with you, feel free to totally. Take the, go ahead and like, let them know how they can connect with you.
Yeah. So I'm usually on most social media, Twitter, Instagram, all the big ones. I'm Abby, ABBY _ Sherlock, SHERLOCK, like Sherlock Holmes, like the fictional character. And then I'm Abby Sherlock on most stuff, and you can see my website, but those are probably the most active places to keep up with what I'm doing. Yeah. And my email is on my website if you need to get in touch with me in a official capacity.
Abby Sherlock is Abby Sherlock and a lot of things. she is not one for being lethargic. That's for sure. She's all over. She's accomplished a lot. Not to say that she's all over the place, but she's all over the place and more. And looking forward to seeing all the other amazing things that she does in the future. But once again, this has been Abby Sherlock. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Trent.
Hey, y'all. It's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.